I don't know if you heard about two Trump supporters who passed away, and of course they went to heaven being Trump supporters, Christians at least. And when they got to the pearly gates, they met Peter, and Peter asked them, do you have any questions? Yes, they replied. What were the real results of the 2020 USA election, and who was behind the fraud? Well, Peter said, my son, there was no fraud. Biden won the Electoral College fair and square, 306 to 232. Well, after a few moments of stunned silence, the one guy, he turns to the other and he whispers, this goes up higher than I thought. Let's bow in prayer as we commit ourselves to the Lord. Father, we know that we've experienced a crazy year, and as we face 2021, we realize that it's going to be another unusual year. Father, we thank you that we can place our total confidence in you. Lord, we're reminded from Psalm 25 that the secret counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him and reveals his covenant to them. Father, we thank you that we have a firm foundation and an anchor for the soul, as the book of, or the letter to the Hebrews reminds us. Lord, we pray that as we come around your word this morning, that indeed we would draw close to you. Father, we pray for those who perhaps have taken a spiritual holiday, or who've grown cold, or Lord, those who face challenges as they begin this year 2021. Father, we know of many challenges, be it financial, work, parents who can't take their children back to school because of lockdown. And Lord, once again, we commit ourselves afresh to you to hear a word from you. And Lord, to receive from you and from your word, we thank you for your truth that is real and applicable to our lives. And Father, now we pray that you would speak into our lives. And Lord, that we would rejoice in you as we celebrate your presence with us. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Christmas and New Year were quite different this past season. Something quite different that we've experienced before. We were to have a family Christmas. This would have been the fourth in 25 years. I'm usually ministering on Christmas Day. It's the fourth time. And we had the privilege of being off for Christmas. And when we got to Cape Town, one by one, our family members cancelled. So we ended up just having Christmas with my sister and her two daughters. And the rest of the family were being cautious and careful because of COVID. And then, of course, as you all know, New Year was quite different this past time. We were all confined to be indoors at midnight. Where were you for New Year, New Year's Eve, and New Year? We're in Cape Town, many times we've been in Cape Town for New Year, and we often watch the fireworks that are let off at the waterfront. It's quite spectacular, but this year was quite different. There were no fireworks. Instead, a light beamed from the waterfront, and this was not to bring in just the New Year, but instead, it was to honor the frontline workers who'd been working hard with COVID patients and also fighting COVID, and also to remember those who have passed away in 2020. Now, if you look at the, I hope it's on the screen, that picture of the stadium with the light, you'll see a light beaming from behind the stadium. It was, I took that photograph on 1 minute past midnight, and there you'll see that ray of hope in a sense. This is the view. It's really powerful as you think about what it really reflects. Those working on the front line and also those who passed away in 2020 from the COVID virus. And as I stood there on the balcony overlooking this amazing view and reflected, John chapter 8 and verse 12 came into my mind. It flooded into my mind. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Today I want to share reflection, a little different today from our usual exegetical approach. I simply want to share from our hearts today. As Christians in Christ, we have a certain destiny. We have the light of life to guide and to save us. Jesus says we will, as his people, we will never walk in darkness because we have the light. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 has become a real encouragement and a meaningful verse to me. The writer says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Do you perhaps need to hear those words from Hebrews 6:19 as we enter this new year, a year filled with uncertainty? The deepest darkness I've ever experienced was a number of years ago when we, as children, visited Kango Caves. I remember at one point they switched off the lights. It was absolutely pitch dark, a bit terrifying for a child. From then on, I understood what Moses was speaking about in Exodus 10 and verse 21 to 23 during the 10th plague when he spoke about the fact that darkness, in a sense, can be felt. Have you had that experience where you feel the darkness? Maybe that's how you feel as you begin this year, 2021, and you look ahead at the prospects and maybe feeling a little bit discouraged. The setting of Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world," in John chapter 7 and 8, it's the festival of the tabernacles. The Jews would celebrate this festival for 8 days, somewhere between mid-September and mid-October. They celebrated the harvest and particularly God's care of their ancestors as they moved through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land. Many people celebrated by living in booths made of palm branches. And each morning the priests would come and they'd carry water from the pool of Siloam and pour it on the west side of the brazen altar in the temple court. This reminded the people how God had miraculously provided them with water as they traveled through the wilderness on their difficult journey to the promised land. This ritual would have reminded them of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." On the last day of the celebration, Jesus would take the opportunity to tell people that he alone could satisfy their spiritual thirst by trusting him and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7 and verse 37 to 39 records Jesus' words, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." And friends, that's the invitation we have today as we listen to this sermon, this word of God. Jesus invites you to come and drink. At night, during the celebrations, the priests would light four candelabra in the court of the women at the temple. The light would be seen across the city of Jerusalem, much like on New Year's Eve when they lit up that beam that shone up from the waterfront. A reminder of the pillar of fire by which God led the people of Israel through the darkness from Egypt in the wilderness to the promised land. It also symbolized the cloud of God's glory that led the nation day by day through the wilderness, and it hovered over the temple, over the tabernacle at least, as the people camped. Some Old Testament verses picture this glorious truth. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is the light of my salvation." Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path." Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The people who knew the scriptures would also remember the words of the prophet Ezekiel describing the glory of God departing from the temple of Jerusalem. They'd remember Samuel's words in 1 Samuel 4:21, "Ichabod, the glory of God has departed." Perhaps as the priests were putting out those lamps on the last evening of the festival, Jesus would cry out, "I am the light of the world." It was proper for the Jewish people to observe this feast because God had commanded it. But the tragedy of all these, this festival, this joyful celebration, was that they were ignoring the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who alone could bless them and lead them and give them light. Jesus would get up and shout to get their attention. Is God getting your attention? In the madness of the pandemic, Jesus is crying out. Now, while we were in Cape Town, I enjoy hiking, and we were invited by one of my daughter's friends to join their family on a hike. We started Teresa Avenue in Camps Bay, and we'd work our way up a jeep track to get to the pipe track, and we'd plan to go up Corridor Ravine and then to Tranquility Cracks, across the top of Apostles, and then down Castielspoort. And there's a picture there, hopefully it's showing on your screen right now, and that's the going up the pipe track. Looks pretty scenic. It's absolutely beautiful. Well, we began well, and although a little late, it wasn't too hot when we began, and we enjoyed the absolute beauty of the pipe track. I was up in front. I love hiking and walking, enjoying the color, but I wasn't prepared for Corridor Ravine. The sun was coming over, the day was heating up, and as you can see on that picture, it was just straight uphill. Not long, I was out of breath. I hadn't done a good hike for about 2 years because of lockdown and so on. We were going straight up the hill, and I hadn't had good exercise for quite a while. I was in trouble. I was out of breath. And to be honest, as I went up the mountain, panting and sweating, soaked through, I wondered even if I had COVID-19. Well, thank goodness I didn't. But the sweat was pouring out, and I wasn't a good sight. Friends, often life is like that. Perhaps you're up out in front, enjoying the color of life, and then life happens. Annie Johnson Flint, she wrote the following. Perhaps this is your experience. Press out of measure and press to all length. Press so intently it seems beyond strength. Pressed in body and pressed in soul, pressed in mind till the dark surges roll. Pressed by the foes, pressed by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends. Pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into knowing no helper but God. I have a question for you. Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Now, there's two ways to look at this question. The one way is God dependable in times of need? Will he do what he promises to do? Will he come through? That's the one way of looking at this question. The other way of looking at this question is, can you or can I or can we trust God? Is God dependable, looking at God, and can we trust God? Do you have such a relationship with him and such faith and confidence in him that you believe that God is with you, even at times when there's no evidence of his presence and his power, when you feel that trouble and despair and darkness in your soul? Are we the people that A.W. Tozer describes? He feels supreme love for the one he's never seen. He talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. He expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order to be full. He admits he's wrong so he can be declared right. He goes down in order to get up. He is strongest when he is weakest, richest when he is poorest, happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have. He gives away so he can keep. He sees the invisible. He hears the inaudible. He knows that which passes understanding. Is that the sort of Christian, the sort of person that you are? As we look at this issue of trusting God, exhibit one of trust in the Bible is this man David we read about, the psalmist, the shepherd boy, the king. David was hunted and haunted and hounded by his enemies, but he trusted God. Set apart to be king, he faced a relentless adversity. Psalm 4 and verse 3 records, "Know that the Lord himself has set apart the godly or the faithful for himself. The Lord hears him," David says, "when I call him." David was so sure of God that he added in verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, and make me dwell in safety." You know, I know so many people who battle to sleep. They're battling with issues. Then when David was captured by the Philistines in Gath, he said in Psalm 56 and verse 3 and 4, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" And then when David fled from Saul into a cave, David would cry out in Psalm 57 and verse 1, if you can move that on, Psalm 57 and verse 1. "Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge until danger passes me by." That was David's experience in a cave. Many years ago, a man by the name of Felix of Nola was escaping his enemies, and he too took temporary refuge in a cave. He had scarcely entered the opening of the cave before a spider began to weave its web across the small opening. With remarkable speed, the insect completely sealed off the mouth of the cave with an intricate web, giving the appearance the cave had not been entered to for many weeks. As Felix's pursuers passed by, they saw the web and didn't even bother to look inside. Later, as the godly fugitive stepped out into the sunlight, he uttered these insightful words, "Where God is, a spider's web is a wall. Where he is not, a wall is but a spider's web." Are you in your own cave, struggling and hiding? We can pray with David in Psalm 143 and verse 8. "Let me experience your faithful love in the morning, for I trust in you. Reveal the way I should go, because I appeal to you." David wanted God's will to be realized and accomplished in his life. He trusted God to shame through the difficulties. How do you trust God when you face difficulties and disaster? Just this past week on Monday, we heard of a friend. He'd been with me in my church where I grew up in Cape Town. He'd been a year or two behind me at college, and on Monday he passed away from COVID-19. And I was chatting with another friend about the whole situation, and we started reflecting about some of the people we knew years ago who we'd grown up with in church, and how tragic it was to record how many have turned away from God as life got in the way. They failed to trust the Lord. Why, we ask God, if you are my safety, why am I in this situation? Helen Rosevier was a British medical missionary in the Congo years ago during an uprising. Her faith was strong and her trust was confident. And yet she was raped and assaulted and treated brutally. Commenting later, she said, "I must ask myself a question as if it came directly from the Lord. Can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why?" That's quite a thing, isn't it? What a profound thought, notes Chuck Swindoll, that God has trusted each of us with a set of our own unfair circumstances and unexplained experiences to deal with. Can we still trust Him, even if He never tells us why? You see, the secret of trusting the Lord is accepting from God's hand everything He gives us, looking into His face in trust and thanksgiving, knowing we're in the space that God has given us, and ultimately it's all for His glory. We know those words so well of Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight." And what the psalmist is saying is that strength comes from a proper trust and a proper perspective. Alton Trueblood, he said the following: "Faith is not the belief without proof, but trust without reservation." Our circumstances may not change, but in the process, we begin to change. And Andrew Murray, that great man of God, he put it like this: "First, he brought me here. It is by His will I'm in the straight place. In that fact, I will rest. Next, He will bring me in His love and give me the grace to behave as His child. Then He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me lessons He intended me to learn, and working in me the grace He means to bestow. Last, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when, He knows." How do you keep your face up and keep fit spiritually? The next picture you'll see, we got to the top of that corridor ravine of the huffing and puffing for an hour or maybe an hour and a half. I don't think it was 2 hours, but it was pretty hectic going up that ravine. We made it to the top. And then a little while later, you can go to the next picture. We got to Tranquility Cracks, a beautiful shady place, a network of caves and different paths and so on, green and beautiful, out of the sunlight. It was, at this stage of the day, it was blazing hot, and we crept into these little caves and places that were cooler. We'd reached, in a sense, a beautiful destination, a place of rest. In a very true sense, God gives us a place, a destination of tranquility. In Psalm 119 and verse 1 to 8, we see three realities, three truths, or three absolutes that we need to cling to in 2021. Psalm 119, if you want to turn in your Bibles, and I want to look just at a few verses. "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." The first thing as we look at these few verses is the reality of God's blessing in verse 1 to 3. God is good, and we need to not forget that. Blessed, He says, are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their hearts. They do no wrong, but follow His ways. How glorious it is to be blessed by God. As we came back from our holiday and we'd been in various COVID-19 hotspots, I said to my family and to my wife, Marlene, as we reflected on God's grace and provision, that we came back healthy and we shouldn't take it for granted. God had blessed us and kept us safe. Friends, don't forget the reality of God's blessing. Second, in this passage, we see the necessity of God's presence. Verse 4 and 5, you have laid down your precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying our decrees. We need to be reminded at this point that God is with us. We need to follow Him because He is with us. He holds us in His hands and He's going on this journey with us. I'll never forget a story about a man who had a dream. It was a pastor. He was preaching. And at the beginning of the service, a man walked into his church and he sat down and he determined that after the service he would speak and find out who this man was. Well, just as the service ended, the man left, but he asked the deacon on duty, well, who was this man? And the deacon replied, it was Jesus and he'll come again. Friends, we need to be reminded that the Lord is with us in our experience of life. The third great absolute we see in this passage, verses 6 to 8, is the authority of God's Word in our lives. The psalmist writes, then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. All of us are under, or should be under, the authority of God's Word. It's absolutely essential in our faith walk. I want to challenge you this year as we embark on 2021 that we place ourselves under the authority of God's Word. We read it, we digest it, we apply it in our lives. Well, going back to our hike, we still had a way to go. We had to go across the 12 apostles. It was hot by the stage. It was past midday. There was this heat. We still had to go across the top and then down Kasteelspoort. And but this time I was in pain. I'd twisted my knee a little bit. I'd hurt myself and I was limping. And I just had to keep going. I said to myself when others were resting at points, I just keep going because if I stopped, I'd be in trouble. And that's exactly what I did to get home. But as we reflect on life, and maybe you've reached a place of tranquility, but you need to move on in life. Do you have a game plan for 2021? Psalm 119 in verse 9 to 16, the opening verse in verse 9 asks the question, how can I keep my life pure? How can I keep my life focused? How can I keep spiritually fit? I know lots of us have been eating too much. We've had that wonderful Christmas dinner. We've just been celebrating. And I heard yesterday that one of my leaders had put on almost 5 kilograms. I won't gasp because I was pretty close to that. But how do we keep spiritually fit? We're worried about dieting and getting back to where we should be. But where do we need to be spiritually? Verse 9 asks, how can a man or a young person stay on the path of purity? It's by living according to your word. Firstly, and I want to look at just a few points as we close. In verse 10, we need to seek the Lord regularly. Verse 10 says, I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Friends, we need to pursue the Lord daily. We need to include Him in life, the decisions, the plans, the good times, the struggles. We need to seek the Lord in all those experiences. Secondly, in verse 11 and 12, we need to treasure His truth fully. Verse 11 and 12 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. One of the good habits we need to follow in 2021 is to memorize Scripture, learn it, read it, think about it, and then memorize it. One writer says, a heart full of treasure leaves little room for trash. And as we fill our hearts with God's truth, we'll get rid of the trash that we pick up all over the place on the internet and so on. We need to treasure God's truth fully. And then thirdly, we need to share His truth frequently and unreservedly. Verse 13. With my lips, the psalmist says, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. God is calling us, each of us, to openly share His truth. You know, something wonderful happens when we share what God has done in our lives, when we share how God has changed our lives. God does something absolutely amazing in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. We need to share frequently and unreservedly. And then fourthly, we need to delight in God's workings joyfully. Verse 14, I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your words. When last have you celebrated God and His work in your life? You've recounted it, you've shared it. We had just a wonderful testimony personally in our family recently on how God had provided in an absolutely amazing way. The Lord had come through. How many times do we share with people around us, with friends and maybe at church when we get back to what God is doing? And we share with joy our experience of God. Fifthly, we need to respect God's ways wholeheartedly. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. We need to think, we need to meditate about the principles we find in God's word. They're just so rich. I'd like to encourage you this year that you keep a journal and record what God says to you and how He works in your life. And then give God your full respect. Don't hold back. Make this year, 2021, a year where you dare to live by faith. Chuck Swindoll tells a story of Ignace Jan Paderewski. I hope I've got that pronunciation correct. The famous Polish pianist and statesman. He was once scheduled to perform at a great concert hall in America. It was a black tie affair, a high society extravaganza. And present in that audience that evening was a woman who had brought her 9-year-old son, hoping that her son would be encouraged to practice the piano if he could just hear this great musician at the keyboard. Weary of waiting for the concert to begin and being there against his wishes anyway, the young boy, he squirmed restlessly in his seat like our children do at a situation like this. Then his mother turned to talk with some friends, and the boy slipped out of his seat and down the aisle and strangely drawn by this ebony grand concert, a piano sitting majestically and alone at the center of the huge stage. He sat down on the turf leather stool, placed his small hands on the black and white keys, and began to play chopsticks. Suddenly the crowd hushed, and hundreds of frowning faces turned in his direction. Irritated and embarrassed, some began to shout, "Hey, get that boy away from here! Where's his mother? Somebody stop him!" Well, backstage, Paderewski heard the uproar and the sound of the simple tune. When he saw what was happening, he hurried onto the stage. Without a word to the audience, he walked up behind the lad and he reached his arms around either side of him and he began to improvise at least with a counter melody. As the two made music together, the master pianist whispered in the boy's ear, "Keep going. Don't quit, son. Keep on playing. Don't stop. Don't quit." So it is with us. We hammer away at life day by day, and sometimes it seems as if it's about as significant as chopsticks. Then about the time we are ready to give up, along comes the master who leans over and whispers, "Don't quit, keep going," as he provides his divine counter melody of grace, love, and joy just at the right moment. Are you one of those weary pilgrims? Is the road getting long? Is hope wearing a little thin? Don't quit. Keep on day by day. Friend, finish the course. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have one who comes and puts his arms around us. And Lord, as we bow before you at the beginning stages of this new year, 2021, Father, we thank you that we can rest assured that we have a firm foundation. Lord, I want to pray for each one this morning, whether they feel on top of things or feel discouraged. Lord, remind us that our foundation is Jesus Christ, and that we have that great Word of God as our firm foundation of truth. Lord, draw us back to yourself at this time. Lord, we pray that if we're on that tough hike, that you would give us strength to look upward to you and to the Word in our hands. And oh God, that we'd rest in you. Friend, won't you just commit yourself as we bow before the Lord this morning? Won't you commit yourself to following and meditating and reading the Word of God? Won't you commit yourself to resting in our Lord and Savior, being reminded that He is with us all the time? Won't you just say, "Lord Jesus, I come at the beginning of this year, and oh God, I commit myself afresh to trusting you completely." Won't you do that right now as we come to the end of the service? Father, we thank you that you are faithful. And Lord, we can put our trust in you. Father, I pray for each one that we would be reminded that you're a God who is good. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.